We all grew up learning about natural selection, a view-altering way of thinking about ourselves that Charles Darwin proposed in his 1859 book, On the Origin of Species. At the time, it was a crazy idea that many were hesitant to accept, despite the idea of adaptive characteristics being introduced as early as in the times of Aristotle, when Aristotle proposed teleology, or that each thing serves a particular purpose, and Aristotle's biology, which proposed that mutations appear accidentally, but only useful ones survive. Nowadays, natural selection is seen as almost universally believed, and largely unrefuted. And yet, in 2009, when Joan Roughgarden published her book, The Genial Gene, suggesting that social selection also played a vital part in mating and natural selection, the scientific community was quick to reject her work. Welcome back to the third episode of the third season of The Mystery of Your Mind, a podcast all about ourselves, our world, and why we are the way we are. In this episode, I delve into the history and functions of social selection theory, which was introduced in the last episode, and suggests that mates are chosen based on pro-social factors, such as kindness, compassion, empathy, and sharing, sometimes more so than traditionally believed factors like physical aptitude or appearance. In 2004, 5 years before Roughgarden published The Genial Gene, Joan Roughgarden's book, Evolution's Rainbow, critiqued Darwin's theory of sexual selection as a form of natural selection, and instead suggested that biology can influence sexuality and gender identity, and that, contrary to Darwin's views of traditional roles, where males impress females and females choose their mate, not all animals behave or follow such constructions in the real world. These ideas were explored further and published, only to receive criticism by 40 scientists in 10 critical letters, even in the journal Science, some of which were quite rancorous. They actively dejected Roughgarden's article, saying that it was misleading, contained misinformation, and that sexual selection was the reason behind all of Roughgarden's data and analyses. This criticism wasn't to go away soon either. The Genial Gene, where Roughgarden presents 26 phenomena that cannot be explained by sexual selection, but rather through social selection, was still criticized widely. As we talked about in the last episode, social selection is an occurrence when we choose a partner based on their prosociality and how they react and interact with those around them. If someone is known for being compassionate, sharing, and cooperative, while another person is known for being vile, self-absorbed, and manipulative, it's almost obvious that the one that's more socially adaptive and apt will more likely have a mate. Similarly, if someone is known as sacrificial for the greater good, while another person takes from others without ever giving back, it's, in a way, quote-unquote, risky to be with the latter. After all, who knows when they'll take everything from you and leave you in the dust? It's usually more understandable and reliable for everyone to find a balance between being sacrificial and being reserved and focused on your personal needs, and we don't want to overdevote ourselves to someone who doesn't reciprocate. Now, I don't want to stray too far, so if you want to learn more about pro-social behaviors and how they manifest themselves in us, check out the last episode, where I go into all sorts of pro-social behaviors and just how pro-sociality affects us in our daily lives. Now, back to Roughgarden. In The Genial Gene, Roughgarden states that sexual selection works on the premise of individual decisions around mating, and focuses on competition, deception, and the selfish gene concept, while social selection theory relies on a sense of teamwork, honesty, and genetic equality in survival. The selfish gene concept, something that Roughgarden attributed to sexual selection, suggests that individuals inherently want their genes to be passed on. For instance, you would be inherently selfish and want your genes to continue to be available in the gene pool by having offspring, even if that meant competing for a mate. One of Roughgarden's main criticisms against the selfish gene concept was that it also suggests the idea that all animals inherently, quote-unquote, want to be heterosexual in their mating preferences, so as to continue their genetic lineage into their future, which isn't the case in many animals. Rough Garden's work today continues this belief, trying to better understand sexual and social selection theory and which of the two is more dominant in mating and partner selection. And Rough Garden continues to be consistently met with criticisms over the validity of her work. Many of these counter-researchers reject Rough Garden's ideas based on how animals, especially those who develop monogamous relationships, where a partner is lifelong or nearly lifelong mate. The most successful mates in these cases tend to be those that are driven by maintaining their gene pool and are selected based on their ability to survive, more so than other factors. Rough Garden accepts the criticism that surrounds her, but remains confident in her theory, saying in a 2019 interview that, quote, "most biologists remain defensive of sexual selection theory," end quote. As with all theories, there comes rebuttal and refute, resistance and rejection. But without it, where would science be today? Criticism continues as one of the most crucial parts of maintaining research quality and developing perspectives, theories, and concepts, and it's why we can come to appreciate people like Darwin, Galileo, or Copernicus, who left the norm to explore the possibilities. Who knows? Maybe one day, people will look back at Rough Garden the way we do at Darwin and wonder why Rough Garden wasn't obviously believed. Thank you so much for listening to the third episode of the third season of The Mystery of Your Mind, a podcast all about who we are and why we are the way we are. If you love this podcast as much as I do, be sure to leave a rating and comment in whichever app you're using right now to listen to this podcast. It helps this podcast spread to other listeners so that they too can learn more about the crazy world that they live in. Also, be sure to check out the links that are in the description of this episode to follow this podcast on Instagram for all of the latest updates and notifications, as well as to check out my website, give me some feedback, or simply get to know me a bit better. Thank you so much again, and I'll see you in the next episode.